It seems like it's early that I'm going to talk about a subject like this today. Titus 3 was very applicable, especially verse 5 in regards to what I'm going to talk about today. But Passover being not very far down the road, 10 weeks, it seems like maybe a long time, but because I only get to the podium once a month, there's only a couple times that I'll be up here prior to Passover, so that's why I'm doing a message like this today. Well, greetings, brethren, here on the Sabbath here. What did you say, Eric? 10th? 10th, yes, 10th of February. I don't like February, by the way. It's still cold. But we're 10 weeks roughly away from Passover and the days of unleavened bread. And according to the calculated Hebrew calendar, Passover this year, in our calendar, the way we count time, it's going to be April 22nd this year. Because each day begins, as we know in the Bible, at sunset, we'll be renewing that covenant with God the Father and Jesus Christ just after sunset on the evening, as we count time, of April 21st, which, as we see it, would be Sunday evening, even though the new day in the calendar of God's has changed to the 20th. Well, I don't know what day it is. It's not Nisan. We won't go there. Prior to taking this covenant, one of our main requirements, one of the things that each one of us should be doing, is individually examining ourselves to determine what? To determine if we're in alignment with God's will and if we're thinking much the same as He thinks, as much as humanly possible. Now, we should be doing this regularly throughout the year as well, but especially at this time of year, prior to the Passover and days of unleavened bread. You're going to get these messages every year. It's meet in due season, the ministers call it, and this is one of the messages that we need to hear prior to the Passover. Let's have a look, first of all, at 1 Corinthians 11. We're going to use three verses there, 28 to 30, 1 Corinthians 11. And this message today, I want to discuss the personal focus is going to be on discussing examining ourselves. So as we begin this preparation time to renew the covenant with God the Father and Jesus Christ by taking the Passover on the evening of the 21st of April. 1 Corinthians 11 is a good place for us to start. Here we go, verse 28. But let a man... And it's talking to women as well, so I'm not going to say that again, but we know when it says man, it means mankind. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat the bread and drink of the cup accordingly. Because the one who eats and drinks unworthily is eating and drinking judgment unto himself, not discerning the body of the Lord. For this very reason, many are weak and sickly among you, and many have fallen asleep. What we read here, I don't think it requires too much explanation. It's pretty straightforward. And Paul emphasizes the point that self-examination prior to Passover is very necessary in order for us to correct ourselves and make certain that we continue to bring honor to the Godhead, to God the Father and our Savior Jesus Christ. Paul also states here that problems and trials among members, we're all human, among members of his household can exist. And the key reason for that is that, brethren, we have not examined our conduct the way we should have. We've let it get out of hand. We've dropped the reins, basically. Now the horse is galloping all over the place. And this problem, if we don't correct it, could actually lead to death itself. We just read that in verse 30. Let's not do that. Let's not go there. So a little further along in the ministry of Paul, he brings the same idea out again, only this time in a second letter to the same congregation. Does it again. He states this, and I quote now from I'll just quote it, you don't need to turn there. 2 Corinthians 3, in one verse, verse 5, says exactly, starts off the same way the other one did. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Prove your own selves. Don't you know your own selves? Know that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified. Who here wants to be disqualified? I'll speak in the tongues this time, not moi. And that's me in French. So we should be constantly taking stock of ourselves by way of what? Self-examination. Even more so, as we make this run we're making right now, we're 10 weeks away, up to the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. Now in the Church of God, this is no secret. We've heard this so many times. We've asked ourselves this very same question. What would Christ have me do? Because he definitely wants each one of us, prior to Passover, to examine ourselves, to test ourselves, to prove ourselves as to whether we are worthy. Worthy of what? To actually renew this covenant with the Godhead. Now in Galatians, the context of chapter 6 is about bearing our own burdens. But also at times, bearing each other's burdens as well. Because we realize, and we just went through this a couple of times, a few months ago, and we have to realize, brethren, that we are all, every one of us here, all 10 of us, 11 if David was here, we're all on the exact same team. We're wearing the same jerseys, right? Even though we're dressed a bit different, we're on the same team. So when one suffers, here it is, when one suffers, we're all suffering. We all feel bad. We just went through that with Violet and with June. They were suffering. We were suffering with them. We didn't like to see what was happening. Does that make sense? So Galatians 6 verse 4, I'll quote it. It's talking about all of us here and the whole church for that matter. Let everyone be sure that he or she is doing their very best. For then, they will have the personal satisfaction of work well done. And won't need to compare themselves with anyone else. If we're going to compare ourselves to anyone else, it's going to be to Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's perfect. That's why. So it's very unwise for us to compare ourselves with each other. There's no need to do so. No need at all. We should be praying and asking God to reveal in us the areas in our hearts which God himself is concerned about in each one of us. Characteristics which are not reflections of Christ's character. Then it will be our responsibility to what? To repent concerning to what God has made plain to us. That's why we go to him in prayer. Perhaps this would not be what you would call an easy process to describe. Or maybe it's an easy process to describe, I should say. But not so easy to follow through on. Easy to talk about, hard to do sometimes. 2 Peter 1. Let's turn there. 2 Peter 1. Because we're all required to put out effort. And sometimes this putting out of the effort, a great deal of effort, maybe it's sometimes even painful effort, to be hard to assure our entrance into God's kingdom. Remember Paul in Philippians 2:12. You should know this is a memory scripture. We're told what to do in Philippians 2:12. To work out our own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Now, this is Peter speaking this time. And I'm going to quote now 2 Peter 1:3 to 11. Second Peter 1, 3 to 11. And I quote, "According as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and virtue, through which he has given to us the greatest and most precious promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And for this reason, also having applied all diligence, besides, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control endurance, and to endurance godliness, and to godliness brotherly love, and to brotherly love the love of God. For if these things exist and abound in you, they will cause you to be neither lacking effort nor lacking fruit in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the one in whom these things are not present is spiritually blind, so short-sighted that he has forgotten that he was purified from his old sins." And this is what I'm really getting on here, verse 10 and 11. "For this reason, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. Because if you are doing these things, you will never fall at any time. For in this way, you will be richly granted an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." End of quote. Now, we should not, definitely not, be leaving this labor that I just read about undone. And if we really look at properly preparing for the upcoming Passover, this can be very, very tough stuff. Tough to do. But you know, what we have to do is to really get to know ourselves by this close examination of the self. Because I ask myself, do I really know me? Do I really admit? Do you really admit who we really are? Now, here we are, brethren, living right at the very end. And as we were mentioning earlier, Satan is ruling this world. Been going on for roughly 6,000 years, okay? And we've all gone through various trials and various sufferings, but you know, it hasn't all been pain and agony, because at times we have abounded with joy, with contentment. We've had good times of peace and considerable amounts of amazing growth all along the way as well. And all of us are no doubt thankful for all of that to the Father. Because you know why? He's engineered it all. He has authored these blessings. Every night, this is an aside, every night at the supper table, the dinner table, as maybe some call it, I always give thanks for everything. Because we've got nothing that hasn't come from God. Everything comes from God. However, you know, in thinking about all this, it hasn't all been smooth sailing, has it? Because we all need to recognize that there are still, and there always will be, stony parts that are still in us. But we have come a long way. However, we also know that the race before us is still taking place. The finish line is still up ahead. So dealing with our shortcomings is so necessary by constantly coming to God in complete heartfelt, repentant attitudes. It's needful. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. I'll state it for you. It starts off, this is a faithful version, by the way. It says, "What?" Exclamation mark. "Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit,
in which you have within you, and it comes from God, and that you, write your name in there, are not your own, for you were bought with this price, with a price it says. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. End of quote. Now, think of the magnitude of our relationship with God and the obligation that that puts all 10 of us under. To be living days as what? As an example of God's way of life. Day in, day out, hour by hour, minute by minute. As the seconds tick by. Now with this in mind, as God's people, that makes us not ordinary in any sense. We're not ordinary. We've been called to something different. Now in the book of Proverbs in chapter 4, Solomon, who started off real good, seen as what, one of the most wise men on the earth, too bad he didn't stick with it. Solomon writes in chapter 4, verse 23, he says there, in his wisdom at the time, above all, guard the door of your mind with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life itself. Now, an alternate reading says, guard the door of your heart. And as we incorporate prayer and meditation into our lives, it's very important that we ask the Father for the insight as to who we personally really are inside. Especially right now, as we make our way to the Passover. The overall idea is to become what? More and more like the two in the Godhead. What's that require? We talk about it quite often. The putting off and the putting on process. That's what I'm talking about. And that becomes more and more clear. Because as you speak to God, He gives back to you. You put out and you put on, coming from what He says. Your conscience talks to you. His spirit talks to your spirit. His Holy Spirit, His power talks to your human spirit. And you do what? I do what? We make the change. That's how it works. So the overall idea is to become more like Jesus Christ. Because what? He's perfect. Now, this process that we're called to, this process we're going through now, we're going to go through prior to Passover, should not be something that we fear. Why would you fear it? Do we fear going to the kingdom of God? Shouldn't. Shouldn't happen. But you know what? I tell myself this all the time. The natural thing for me is to be prideful. And that, folks, that, brethren, pride, as I've got written down here, is a showstopper. That thing stops the process of growth. It becomes a showstopper, but humility, on the other hand, the other side of the teeter-totter, if we want to put it that way, it keeps us moving forward. Repentance of the flaws of life keep us moving forward. And God will forgive us when we repent. Let's go to 1 John 1. 1 John 1. We're going to read 9 and 10 there. But let's remember this as we're turning there. 1 John 1. God may be a consuming fire to His enemies. Talks about that in Hebrews 12. John 1 we're going to. But to His own children, He's not a consuming fire. He is a boundless provider and loving Father, as we know. Ephesians 4 tells us that. God the Father is quick, as we realize, to forgive if we freely confess and repent of our sins to Him. 1 John 1, 9 and 10, and I quote, If we confess our own sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and His word is not in us. So taking stock of ourselves honestly is super important. Let's go to let's go to 2 Corinthians 6 this time. We're going to start in verse 14. Let's turn there. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Another one by Paul. We also have to realize that Jesus Christ resides within us. We have come across this so many times in our sermons we listen to, in our messages we listen to personally, in our own personal studies. We've heard this many times, this portion of Paul here I'm going to read. 2 Corinthians 6, we'll start off in verse 14. And I quote, "Do not become unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and lawlessness have in common?" It's a question. And what fellowship does light have with darkness? It's the opposite, isn't it? And what union does Christ have with Belial? Now that's another word for Satan. So what union does Christ have with Satan? None. Or what part does a believer have with an unbeliever? Now the overall context of what we just read there could be summed up by stating that we are to be working together with Christ. And if we're all in Christ, then we work all together. Amen? Continuing verse 16. "And what agreement is there between the temple of God and the temple of idols?" Question mark. "For you are a temple of the living God. Exactly as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I, God says, will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from amidst of them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean, and I will receive you. And I shall be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Catch chapter 7, verse 1. "Now then, since we have these promises, we should purge ourselves from every defilement of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." End of quote. A lot to be said there, a lot to realize there, but that's what it is. Because we are God's children, we are special. Nothing of ourselves makes us special. It's only God dwelling in us by His Spirit that separates us, that makes us different from others. And what a difference that makes. John 14. Let's look at that this time. John 14. "Brethren, our desire," we're going to read 23. "Our desire to give God nothing to judge us unworthy of His presence should reach all the way from our physical health, clear through our whole being to our even most secret thoughts." So nothing left out there. Clearly, the problem with all this is that each and every one of us falls short. Now the job at hand, especially as we approach the Passover season, is to have what we refer to as a deep cleansing, a deep spiritual scrubbing, to rid ourselves of the indwelling, of the unwanted character traits, the things that don't fit into Christ. We do this, why? Out of deep reverence for Him who dwells in us. Because John 14 is where you're at. Let me read first verse 2. And John writes here, "In God's house there are many dwelling places." Some people say that's positions. "So in God's house there are many positions being prepared for you and me." And as we keep God's biblical holy days, we come to understand that Christ is returning to resurrect and call up the first fruits, his saints, his chosen ones. This is all foreshadowed by the Feast of Pentecost for his coming kingdom. That's exciting. Verse 23. Let's carefully consider John here. Verse 23 says this, "And Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and will come to him, and make our home with him." End of quote. Now, this should make us think, what kind of a home am I, are you, are we providing for the sovereign God and his glorified Son? What kind of a home? Being disqualified from the Godhead is a position that not one of us want any part of. Being disapproved, unacceptable, unworthy, worthless, a castaway, is not going to lead any one of us to eternal life. I want to read three scriptures for you. I think these are all by Paul. Yes, they are. Just listen to this. Romans 1, verse 28, and I quote, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased or reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting." Titus 1:16. Wilma was there in Titus 1 already. This is verse 16. "They personally profess to know God, but in their works they deny him, being abominable and disqualified for every good work." Don't want to fit into that one either. Now think about this one from Hebrews. This is probably Paul's writing here. Think about this one from Hebrews 6, from a personal, spiritual level. Verse 7 and 8, Hebrews 6. "For the earth that drinks in the rain that often comes upon it bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessings from God, and it bears thorns, and it bears briars. It is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned." That's talking about the lake of fire. We don't want that either. Being disqualified or rejected is the opposite, the exact opposite of having Jesus Christ dwelling in us. It is being unfit or unworthy of his presence within us. And a disqualified person is simply this: cut off from God. This is the worst possible outcome of a Christian's life. Why would that be recorded for us? Why would that be in there? Because it can happen. It's reality. It can happen. So regular self-examination has proven that it is a way to make sure that it doesn't happen. Now, the Godhead want each of us to discover the true reality of our own individual natures. No point in me knowing Regis. No point in me knowing Larry's. I got to know my own. I have to work out what? My own salvation. Philippians 2:12, with fear and trembling. And of course, you know, it is going to be impossible to fathom it entirely. We can't come to grips with the potential of evil that exists in each one of us. We can't come to grips with that. We just won't see it all. But we must annually at least measure the extent that we have overcome the evil in us and the sincerity of our commitment of our relationship with God. We have to work at that hard. It's a hard thing sometimes. So as we examine ourselves this and every year, God expects us to prepare ourselves as mature Christians to rededicate ourselves to Him afresh at Passover and put the sin out of our lives diligently and actively, which is the lesson that I'm talking about here today. And it's also the lesson of the days of unleavened bread. To keep the sin out. To be unleavened. What we have to do, brethren, is ask the Father in faith to help us, to reveal to us our inward hidden faults. We have to ask. We have to ask for help. So in doing so, let's not be discouraged by what He reveals. It's God's assessment of us that truly matters. It doesn't matter what somebody's going to say about you in the flesh. It's what God says, what He feels that you need to change. And that's the spirit we listen to. Now, it's our human nature to get discouraged, isn't it? When we are told these hard truths. And we come across these hard truths about our nature, about our character. As long as we live in these bodies of flesh, we will not be able to escape the corruption of the flesh, which is a compelling reason that you and I long for the resurrection and the return of Christ. When that happens, when we're there, when we're in the kingdom, it'll be done. We won't worry about that any longer. We'll be changed. So rather than wallow now in discouragement, we should change our energies in eradicating the power of the flesh and that power that it has over us. Get rid of it. Now the last time I spoke, we went to Romans 7. We know Paul there says that he wasn't perfect with it. There were things he did he didn't want to do. And the things he wanted to do, he didn't incorporate. We talked about that last time. Now as long as we're in this flesh, we're going to come up short. We're going to sin at different points. It's the best practice for us to daily repent and to ask God to help us with this ongoing fight with our carnal human natures. Let's see Hebrews 13 this time. Hebrews, the 13th chapter. God has promised that we can overcome if we do our part. Hebrews 13, no question about it, brethren. There are many wrong and horrible, sinful influences in the world that we have to battle with. These sinful influences, they wear away at us. However, God has promised to stick with us by giving us the help we need. In Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, God clearly says here, and I quote, "In no way will I ever leave you," He says. "No, I will never forsake you in any way. So we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me?'" Paul says that. One of our favorite characters in the Bible. We need to remember King David. You know, he made some huge mistakes during his life. And we see that he intimates that it's a Christian obligation to be constantly turning back to God by saying, and let me quote it from you, from Psalm 119, verses 57 to 60. And we know that King David made some problems, made some really bad choices in his life, but you know, he repented all the time. He repented fairly quickly. Here's what he says here. Here's what he wrote. Psalm 119, 57. "You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. I entreated your favor with all my heart. Be gracious unto me according to your word. I considered my ways and turned my feet unto your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay. to keep your commandments. That's David. It's us too, in our best state. So by doing so, by living like this, by incorporating these things, we will, due to God's help, succeed in attaining this eternal life that we're questing after. Let's recall 1 Corinthians 11 this time. We'll turn there. You don't mind turning with me. 1 Corinthians 11. As the Passover season approaches, we would do well to be seriously dedicated to being close to God and asking Him to reveal us our personal sins and shortcomings, so that God will never need to reveal them to us in a condemnational way. We don't want that to happen. 1 Corinthians 11, I'll read from 28 to 30. And this is where I started off. It bears re-looking at again. And I quote verse 28, 1 Corinthians 11. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup accordingly, because the one who eats and drinks unworthily is eating and drinking judgment unto himself, not discerning the Lord, the body of the Lord. And for this very reason, many are weak and sickly among you, and many, I'm going to change the word here this time, and many have died since they're fallen asleep. Talking about death there. Now notice verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we will not be judged. That's at a later point. Jesus Christ is the righteous judge. He would much rather we judge ourselves and turn to righteousness than have to point our faults out to us at the judgment. In 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, Paul speaks of his life accomplishments. He knew he had run the course of his life in a way that was pleasing to the Godhead. Here's how he described it. 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8, he says, I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not me only, but also to all who has loved his appearing. Paul is speaking there of us. And we have no need to be discouraged at Passover time. It is our opportunity to reaffirm and commit to Almighty God and renew our dedication to putting on the new man. As James says, sometimes we have not. Why? Because we don't ask with the right motives. James 4, verse 2. I put that in my own words, but that's what it basically says. Winding down, brethren, we're almost finished. Brethren, the spring holy days are 10 weeks away, as I started off. They are approaching. Let's be ready for them when they arrive on the scene. Let's come with joyfulness and take that covenant again. We need to ask the God, we need to ask the Father for a clean heart before Him, as well as hope, joy, peace, and a close personal relationship with Him and His Son, and with each other as well. Thank you for allowing me to bring this message. Have a great rest of the Sabbath day.